So Happy New Year. Today we begin the new liturgical season of Advent. It is a time of preparing. We are preparing for the coming of Christ. We know that Christ came 2,000 years ago as a little child, but we await with hopeful expectation the second coming of Christ. And so by our preparing ourselves for Christmas, we are also preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ. During these days, I enjoy, as I drive around, seeing the various houses with the candles in their windows, which is one of a sign of that household waiting for their guest, waiting for Christ to come. It also looks beautiful, but the primary reason for it is this idea that they will keep the light burning until their guest arrives, which is Christ. I also recently was able to be home during the Thanksgiving break, and my little nephew, my little nephew gets dropped off at 11:30 every single day, and Grandma watches him until about noon when my brother shows up. And as he's sitting there in the living room playing, he always has an eye to the window. And as soon as the pickup truck pulls into the driveway, he stops what he's doing and he goes and hides. Every day, same thing. He's been doing this for this is his second year. But every day, he's attentive. He's waiting. Doesn't mean that he stops what he's doing and just stares out the window. He does what he's doing, but always with an eye to the window. I think what a beautiful image for us as we prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas. Always keeping the eyes of our mind and our heart tuned to what the Lord is doing. And then I think it's beautiful that he goes and hides, knowing that his Father every single day will act like he doesn't know where he's at and he will seek him out. Is that not a good image for us as God the Father desires to seek us out? And he did so by sending his Son to come and seek us, redeem us, and give us a pathway back to full union with him in Christ. For us to better prepare ourselves for his coming, it is good for us to come and try to understand in a better way, or be reminded yet again of the importance of Christ. And so today we're going to focus on just the immensity of who God is, and hopefully answer a very basic question. Why is there something rather than nothing? Now, we could do a whole exposé on this, which would take forever, but let it suffice to say that the reason why God created something rather than nothing is because he is good. And with goodness, he has to give. It has to be shared. And so it wasn't enough for him to share between the other persons of the Trinity, but it had to be poured out. And so at the very basic response to the question, why is there something rather than nothing, it is because God so willed it. He chose to create. But then not only did he choose to create, at the pinnacle of his creation was man. And so all of creation was created in order to give man a means to come to know and see and understand the goodness of God and to make his way back to God. And the beauty of this is that ultimately his creation is for our sake in coming to know him. And so scientists have told us that our universe is massive. It's expansive. Like 64 million light years long. And I could have the numbers wrong. And how much is a light year? It's like 6 trillion miles. When we were kids, we used to make up large numbers to tell people how big it was that we were, whatever it was we were trying to explain. I feel like that right now. The universe, God's creation, is expansive. And this is what science is trying to tell us, how big it is. Just to give another example, the sun is merely a star in the large galaxy. And the Earth could be fit inside the sun several times over. And there are a ton more stars beyond what we can see or know. And just to think that God created all the stars in the sky with a single breath. And in the immensity of his creation, which is beautiful, he knows each and every single one of us. He knows every hair on our head. In the immensity of God's creation, we are not forgotten. Not only are we not forgotten, he knows us intimately. Which tells me that no matter how bad we screw up our life, when he sent his fullness in the second person of the Trinity, Christ, into the world, the immensity of God resides there with him, and one single person in our depravity, if all we do is turn to him, he has the power to renew and redeem and to save. And so when we look and prepare for the coming of the Christ child, let us not forget who he is. He is God, the one who created the immensity of the universe, of which science only scratches the surface of, and helps us see how immense God truly is. And so it should catch us up in wonder, in fear of the coming of Christ. But we should stand erect, as the epistle says. We should stand erect because our Savior comes. We should fear, yes, but it is a hopeful fear. It is one of expectation that our redemption is at hand. Acknowledging our own weaknesses, yes, but knowing that he has the full power and authority to reconcile all that we've done wrong, and that he desires nothing more than to come and seek us out and to find us. And so today, no matter where you are at, Christ comes to find you and me and draw us into the immensity, which creation only is an image of the immensity that is found in the very heart of God for us.